Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Tuesday morning, December the 9th, 2025. 12:09:25, 13 and a half minutes past the hour, and boy, do we got a lot to talk about here this morning on WGH Talk, a chilly morning here on WGH Talk. First off, I want to thank the Marion Star. In the paper edition of the Marion Star today, there is an article about the fruitcake toss and a picture. Now, the picture is myself and Mary Ellen Withrow and Larry Barnett, former Major League umpire. Hang with me there, caller. In the Marion Star today, in the paper edition, as I was saying, there is an article on the fruitcake toss, so we all love this. The picture is of Mary Ellen Withrow, myself, and Larry Barnett, former Major League umpire. Under the picture, it says the 6th annual WGH Fruitcake Toss will take place at 7 p.m. December 11th. From left, our honorary judge, Mary Ellen Withrow, WGH morning host Scott Spears, and former MLB umpire Larry Barnett, who will receive a plaque commemorating his career during the event. Now, the headline here is Fruitcake Toss returns to Marion with local leaders competing. Here's the story. WGH Talk will host its 6th annual Fruitcake Toss at 7 p.m. December 11th at its studios located at 685 Delaware Avenue in Marion. The event, hosted by morning host Scott Spears, gathers participants nominated by the public to see who can toss a Claxton fruitcake the farthest. Participants range from city council members and former mayors to commissioners, sheriffs, police chiefs, Santa Claus, and local residents. The winner will receive a plaque. Last year, Marion City Schools Superintendent Brian Murphy won with a throw of 72 feet. Mary Ellen Withrow, the 40th Treasurer of the United States, will serve as an honorary judge. Former Major League Baseball umpire Larry Barnett will receive a plaque commemorating his career. This year marks the 50th anniversary of his controversial call in the 1975 World Series, which led to death threats against him and his family. The Industrial Channel will supply free Buckeye Donuts from Buckeye Donuts in Columbus, Ohio. WGH Talk can be accessed at WWGH1071.com or via the TuneIn app by searching WGH Talk. This story was created by Jane Embody with the assistance of AI. How about that? Well, we thank the Marion Star for the big article today. For people who say we don't publicize enough, well, here's a picture, here's a headline, here's all the information for Thursday's event, but it is the event of the season. Caller, hang with me for a second here because I want to run down the list of people nominated for the fruitcake toss, and then we'll go to calls here this morning. December 11th, as I just said, we have the Industrial Channel bringing Buckeye Donuts. I'm glad they got a mention in the newspaper as well. People nominated: Chip, Bob Welsh, Mariah Rudolph, Amy Acton, Weslyn Davis, Larry Barnett, Vivek Ramaswamy, Ralph Thacker, myself, Matt Morgan, Twyla Lang, Jason Schauber, Bill Collins, Jeff Ruth, Brian Murphy, Thaddeus Smith, Lois Fisher, Lowell Thurston, Governor DeWine, Naomi Craig, Terry Klein, Linda Sims, Sheriff Bales, Ed Pickett, President of the Y-Men, Miranda McGinnis, Mayor Kellogg, Martin Watts, Mary Ellen Withrow, Mike Augenstein, members of the Fire Department, Kevin Davidson, Frank Gibson, Ted Graham, Ron Prater, Aaron Rollins, Amy and Brock Parker, Tara Dyer, Salvation Army bell ringer Heather Hill, Allison Russo, Rob Smith, Sean Barr, Ayers Ratliff, Dana Martin, Buckeye Guy, Ben Weber, Colleen Marshall, Steve Whitaker, Jim Jordan, Tracy Richardson, Glenn Coble, Santa Claus, Kent Halloran, The Grinch, Terry Tackett, Naomi's son, Andrew Schwartz, Abby from the Marianne Star, Scott Kreider, and Tommy Reese. Now, also, don't forget the Y-Men will be donating a live Christmas tree. It will sit at the 70-foot mark. If you hit the live Christmas tree, you will win a prize, although I don't know if that'll happen with the Claxton fruitcake, because very few people get to 70 feet in the last 6 years that we've been doing this. Very few people have hit the 70-foot mark, and we will donate that tree when it's over to the homeless shelter on Fairground Street. Also, the Salvation Army will be here with a bell ringer and a canteen, I believe, canteen truck. They will have hot chocolate and coffee and water, and I believe they will also have one of their why can't I think of the word here this morning? They will have one of their the cans, the Salvation Army people. The word has left me. Kettles. They will have one of their kettles if you would like to make a donation to the Salvation Army. Okay, that's all I got to say. We've still got city council stuff to talk about from last night's meeting, but go ahead, caller.
Love your city.
As always.
Assistance of AI.
Well, you know what? AI did a pretty good job here. Now, the only things I don't know. I'm not sure that the throw last year was 72 feet. May have been. It may have been. Other than that, it looks pretty good.
I can barely talk after that. That's my voice.
I know. Well, that'll do you in.
Well, hey, you know, it almost spewed out the tonsils. Hey, I was surprised. I wish the city of Marion, on their website, would put a link directly to the live coverage of the committee meetings and council meetings. I always have to search, and it's a pain. But at any rate, I finally got it. I was amazed. What happened to Stoneburner?
I don't know. She wasn't there last night, and no real explanation was given.
Well, rumor has it, her training wheels, they took the training wheels off. She fell down and hurt herself, and she's recuperating.
You know, I don't know. It's cold and flu season. She might have been under the weather.
Ah, I was surprised. How long has the lectern been placed in its original position?
You know, this is funny. Last night there was so much talk. A lot of interesting things went down city-wise. But for people who've never been there, the podium that people speak at has always been over by the box, where the mayor and the auditor and the police chief and the fire chief all sit. It's been there for a long, long time. And I'm not going to say how it got moved last night, but it was no big decision. I'll tell you that. But somebody moved it from where it has been sitting over by the box to the middle of the room. And there was more talk last night about that than just about anything else. And again, I saw, because I get there fairly early, I saw what happened, why it got moved. I'm not going to implicate anybody in that, but it was no big decision.
Well, originally, why it was left over by, as you call it, the box, was because the microphone cables were broken, and they didn't have one long enough to reach over there. So out of pure laziness and frivolous spending, not to spend $25 for a bloody microphone cable. And was there a microphone on the lectern last night?
You know, I don't know, but if there was indeed a broken microphone cable and that's why it was not moved, my guess is there was no microphone. Because, like I said, I saw how it got moved, and there was no great thought that went into that.
There was, it sounded like there was no mic on there.
I can believe it.
whoever the imbecile was that got the current microphones got the wrong microphones, period. So
yeah, I can believe there was no mic on it.
Yeah. The amazing thing, and maybe I'm getting too far ahead for whatever you wanted to do, was the people who voted for a salary increase for the new treasurer.
Well, okay, let me give the backstory on this, because this, I don't even think this was on our news report this morning. It's on the website, news report. But, okay, here's what happened. What happened was, back, I hope I have these dates right, back in January 1st, I believe it was it New Year's Eve or New Year's Day we met? It must have been New Year's Eve. New Year's Eve of, because it was Scherzer's last day in office. New Year's Eve of 2023, City Council had proposed pay increases for everybody. The mayor, the law director, the auditor, the treasurer, City Council. And Mayor Scherzer, in the last week of the year, his last week in office, vetoed the pay raises for the mayor, the auditor, and I believe the law director. And he left the pay raises in for City Council and the treasurer because they are all part-time positions. So they were not great pay raises. I think the pay raise for the treasurer was like $3,000, and the pay raise for City Council was like maybe in that range as well. So it got City Council up to something like $12,000. I think they're in the $9,000 range now. So those were left in there. And so that happened before we ever knew who City Council was going to be or we ever knew what was going to happen with the treasurer this year. Well, that ordinance is all tied together. So the pay raise for the treasurer and the pay raise for the City Council members and the president are all tied together in one ordinance. So they got together an ordinance, City Council did, to postpone their raise for 2 years till 2028. And they did not want to tie the treasurer to that because their feeling is that the new treasurer ran expecting the pay raise, and they also want her to do things that the current treasurer is not doing. And they figure giving them more money, I guess, is going to hurry that along. So, last night they proposed this postponement of City Council's pay raise for 2 years. Jason Schauber proposed an amendment that included the treasurer as well. The amendment failed. The only people who voted for the amendment were Schauber, Ratliff, and Rollins. Everybody else voted against it. So that amendment did not go in there, and basically the reason given by Sean Barr was, you know, we've had problems with the treasurer. We want them to do more, and this is why we think they should have this money. And obviously a majority of City Council agreed with that. But because of that, because of not including the treasurer, again, the same people, Schauber, Ratliff, and Rollins, would not vote to suspend the rules to postpone the pay raise because they want the treasurer in there. So now the pay raise has to go 3 reads, and we'll see if it goes back. I don't know. Will people be outraged over that? I don't know. I mean, if you don't want it to happen, you've got a couple weeks.
It's Vidya Iyengar, right?
Yes. She's from the credit union.
Right. And she's retired. And she was extremely instrumental in bringing the wall that heals the Marion four years ago. I think she's enough of a patriot and an altruistic person that would have no problem whatsoever of taking that freeze and not getting that increase.
Well, what you just said...
You know, fact of the matter is, if they froze everything the way it is now, let's see, would she quit or would she take the job? For crying out loud, it's only a part-time job.
Well, here is the problem, and this is what I kept thinking from my seat last night as this was going on. Okay, and this goes for the people who propose the amendment, so this goes for Schauber and Ratliff and Rollins, who all voted for it, and also the people who voted against it. Has anybody talked to Vidya? Because I kept thinking last night, did anybody ask her if this would be a big problem? Hey, the city's in financial crisis. I'm sure you're aware of this. Do you mind if we put your raise off for 2 years? Because you're a four-year position. You'll get the raise in 2 years. Does it bother you? Because I've never seen Vidya at a meeting. So why didn't they invite her last night? As you say, she's retired. Did anybody call her on the phone and ask her if it would be a problem? Because if she's willing to do it, I certainly would have put that in the amendment. And if she's not willing to do it, well, then I certainly think the public has a right to know that.
And that's one of the things that's kind of lacking. Common courtesy.
Well, it was just odd.
It would seem that that would be the way to go for council, to ask her to attend because we want to get your input, etc., and move forward after that, which there's no doubt in my mind she would say, that's no problem at all.
Well, then I don't know why that hasn't happened. I don't know. We're getting close here. There's only one council meeting left before the first of the year. And I don't know why she's never attended one, being the incoming treasurer. I don't know if I've ever seen that, where a person who's been elected to office doesn't attend any meetings before they take office.
Well, you know, and another point is, even though this raise, you could say, is peanuts compared to the financial disaster Marion is in, Why are we not, as the mayor said, tightening our belts? We have to tighten our belts. Why aren't we doing that? You would think that they would say, no, if we're going to take a freeze, everybody takes a freeze.
Well, you know what's interesting? Last night I was able to snag one of these papers that the administration put out that tells you actually what budget cuts were implemented or going to be implemented per department. And they're kind of interesting as to what's being done. You know, instead of just saying 10%, it goes department by department and exactly what they're cutting out, how they got to this 10%.
Mm-hmm. And go ahead.
There's just some odd things in here.
Mm-hmm. What I'm curious about is, what was all the big deal about a quarterly budget? I didn't quite understand what the problem was.
Well,
I would think that they would put together an annual budget, break it down by quarters, so that you, just like in a business plan, so you can compare how this quarter actually was to compare it against the budget, and then adjust the second quarter budget based upon what you've learned from the first quarter.
Well, again, this was one of those confusing issues last night because the mayor 2 weeks ago, or a week ago now, said he brought the budget in for 2026 below the expected revenue. So if you passed a budget for the whole year like that and actually stuck to it, you should be safe all year round. So the question is, why pass a quarterly budget? So then, and by the way, that budget that he proposed, which was below revenues, never got out of committee. So there was, you know, this 25% cut of that budget had never passed out of committee. So it just was being presented to council. And now the reason given for this is because the mayor and a group of people met with the state auditor last week, and the state auditor said to do this. This is what the mayor said. That the state auditor said this was what they needed to do, this was part of their plan, and there seemed to be a feeling last night by council members, namely Jason Schauber, who said it, he did not believe that the state auditor told them that. He believed that the state auditor said that they needed to basically get things in order. I'm trying to think of the word he used. I don't have the quote in front of me. But he did not believe, essentially, that the state auditor told them to pass a 25% budget. And so this created a little bit of a conflict last night, because three people who were in that meeting, the budget director, the mayor, and the finance chair, Twyla Lang, they all swore that that's what the state auditor said. And the problem with a quarterly budget is that people bill at different times of the year. And this could cause a problem. It could, apparently the last time it was done, they ended up overpaying certain departments because people bill at different times and bill for different things at different times of the year. And we also learned last night that a full budget has to be passed by something like April, I believe. So I'm not really sure why they don't pass the full budget either. I mean, if the budget is under what the revenues are supposed to be, and this is a reduced budget, what would be the problem in passing a budget that is a balanced budget? Why would the auditor of the state reject to that?
You got me. The funny thing is, Twyla Lang, and I think others said, it's got to be done by April 1st, April Fool's Day.
Yeah.
You know? The other thing is, if it isn't, according to Twyla Lang, if it isn't, then we have 85% of 2025's budget.
Well, see, I don't...
Can't be that bad.
Well, that's only if the state takes over. And I don't think the state has threatened that. I think the state has said that you could go into fiscal watch or fiscal emergency, but that's only the last step, is when the state comes in and takes over. But I don't know that the city is there, because it would seem as if they are taking steps to get things in order. So it really was very confusing last night, and I'm not really sure what the only advantage I could see is that some of these programs that they cut, like a lot of money out of the Aquatic Center, and the mayor could not say last night if it was going to open this year or not, cutting downtown Marion's funding, cutting Night Moves, which will go away January the 1st, that has been cut, we learned last night. Cutting these things could possibly return that if the first quarter's budget is looking good, if revenues are exceeding the first quarter budget. Now, a lot of people feel the real reason behind this is, as of January the 1st, they want to raise taxes, they want to raise sanitation bills. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but That's the rumor. And if you create more revenue, clearly by the time you're at the end of the first quarter, you could reinstate some of these things because you've only passed a quarterly budget.
Well, you know, it wouldn't necessarily be a bad thing if the state stepped in and took over to right the ship and get it back on course. Because right now, the people, the administration, the city council, are all part and parcel of why everything is so screwed up right now.
Well,
so it's not necessarily a bad thing to have the state come in and say, hey, look, do it this way, et cetera, keep an eye on them until the training wheels can come off.
Well, we'll see what happens.
Well, hey, to a better tomorrow.
Hey, by the way, the Industrial Club got mentioned in the Star, so there you go. Industrial Channel, excuse me.
Yes, that was wonderful of them. We are most appreciative. And hey, let's have a great Thursday.
Thank you. All right, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. You know, we don't know what's going on with the treasurer's raise. I would have to imagine that if somebody talked to this woman, Vidya, and said, do you mind if we put your raise off? And she said, yes, well, who's going to vote against that? You know, I guess that's a thing. I don't know. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Sean, what's up?
Oh, it's another day.
Isn't it insane how we go to these meetings that are hours long and we don't find out anything?
Well, you know what? The only thing that I think's interesting is this paperwork about how all these departments cut 10%. I think that's interesting.
I would like to hear that because I was not privy to a copy of that. And for the people that weren't there, our administration seems to be really good at handing out legislation right when city council is sitting down. And then they expect them to vote on it that night. And last night they actually did do that. So none of us know what they voted on last night. And Sean's about to tell us.
Yeah, I will. I mean, there's a lot of stuff here. Now, I think the...
And what's interesting? Anything juicy?
Well, not that these aren't important, but I don't think airport...
I don't care about their pen line. I don't care about how many ink pens.
Well, transit. Transit's been a big conversation.
Yes.
Transit did not replace the operations manager. That's 44...
Can we do a timeout real quick on that?
Yeah, go ahead.
Do you know that Party Bus is going away for sure?
Oh, yeah. Well, it says it right here on this paper.
But had you heard that before last night?
No, I had not heard that before last night.
Last night, it had just been rumor.
So, yeah, well, I had said I'd still seen it up and running. Now, somebody told me it wasn't, but I've seen it.
No, they're still out doing their nighttime thing. So when the driver got up there, I still wasn't even sure that it was going away. Because he just got up there and spoke a couple of minutes about how, you know, people had become reliant on it, which is the purpose of it. But it wasn't clear that I thought maybe he was just lobbying so it doesn't get cut. Last night the public was informed that Party Bus is going away and some people are actually depending on it to go back and forth to work.
Now, this is interesting. I'm glad you bring this up. Because on this was put out by the administration as to what and how these departments cut 10%. And transit's one of the first ones here.
How much was Party Bus allotted as a cut?
Well, that's what's interesting, because it says night...
We got a number.
Yes, and it says night move services will be suspended as of January 1st. Now, the money that they allocate... Now, take a guess.
For the whole year?
I guess it would be a year, yeah.
And I'm guessing what they would have put in it for 2026... $100,000.
No, not even close. $36,000.
That's it?
That's what it says.
For a whole year.
Mm-hmm. I guess.
Okay. I don't believe that. $3,000 a month to run somebody's salary, gas. Okay.
I don't know. It runs 3 days a week. I mean, maybe.
When Colin sat up there last night and said, I don't have a degree in accounting. No, you don't. Because when you are talking about expenses, you aren't just talking about salary. You're talking about benefits. You're talking about depreciation. You're talking about fuel. You're talking about all those things go into that cost.
Well,
so
now,
the mileage that we're putting on the vehicle and all of that other stuff goes into figuring out these things.
Well, see, now this is, okay, now this is how they get to 10%, and this is where the accounting, and I'm no accountant either, this is where this all gets confusing. As part of Transit's 10%, the local match of $25,000 is no longer needed for a van purchase. Now, first of all, I'm not sure what van they're talking about.
Well, and it sounds like we were going to buy a new one.
Going to buy a van. But it doesn't say bus. I don't think they're going to get a bus for...
No, I'm not positive. This would have gone back to last year at some point in time. I believe they were looking to do a van to do smaller trips for maybe like handicap specific, you know, doctor's appointments, things like that, looking to pick up maybe Medicaid contracts. I could be going out on a limb there and saying that, but it seems like I listened to that at one point last year.
That's not going to happen. So here again, we get to the point of, okay, if you're cutting 10% from your budget, apparently it was 10% of what you wanted. It wasn't 10% of what you actually spend.
So I found that out. The $19 million, the budget, the original budget that we were presented with that was $5 million over, that was the wish list.
Right. So there,
Lila and Chelsea sat down with all the department heads and got the wish list and then presented that to City Council. Can you imagine?
Well, that's what's odd about the whole thing, because why would you present that if you knew, because that all happened right about the same time, the fiscal caution. Why would you even present that? It was at the same meeting.
They were hell-bent on pushing it back through that night, if you remember.
Well, here's the thing. Okay, the 25, they're not going to go for the van, so no, they don't need the $25,000. Did not replace the operations manager, which was $44,000 plus benefits. And benefit salaries...
She got bumped up to and got a raise before that position was eliminated.
Right. And, well, it says benefit salaries. New director is already on city insurance. The previous director was not on city insurance.
Okay.
So that's how they made their cuts. Now, the
that's how they made a 10% cut to transit was a bus, a $36,000 cut to party bus, and they didn't replace one person.
Right.
And that's a 10% cut to transit.
That's what they're saying. Now,
if the transit is doing that well, but that's all the little bit that we need to eliminate, then why have they been running a deficit for years?
Well, who knows? The police. Now, the police
is... That's another thing to your point about the budget. Why are we only doing a quarterly one? Because the state isn't going to allow us to run those deficits and those budgets anymore. So, when that cut to transit might not be significant enough, but we'll find out.
Well, but apparently the state told them to do this. They
didn't tell them to do that. They told them to do something.
Well, again, this is
January 1.
See, but now this comes back to the chicken and the egg, and I don't want to chase the tail around too much here. But did the city suggest that they do a quarterly budget because the
it doesn't matter?
Well, I think it matters. But that's where the big argument was last night.
Well, so this is something that if we're going to look at the big picture, typically when you do, you're in fiscal caution, you have 90 to 120 days to provide your plan.
Which they have not provided.
No, but they keep saying they need to have theirs in by January 24th, and that's a significant day in my life. That's why it stuck out to me. That's 2 months from the day that we were entered into fiscal caution. So we've been given 60 days.
Right, but if they haven't
Lila's sitting there and she's afraid, I could tell she was afraid. You sit in the front row. She was afraid that the state is going to come in and take control of our finances. She was legitimately concerned about that last night. So I'd have paid money to have been a fly on that wall in the meeting.
Well, what I think happened is they came down and said, obviously, you've got to make some changes. And that's no shock to anybody. But I don't know if the term, the terminology came, you have to pass a quarterly budget, because they haven't even presented what their plan is yet. So I still don't quite understand that. But
I don't believe that the state said that. I do believe they said, you know, this might be an option, but you absolutely, because there's, Twilight kept citing chapter ORC 118, and I went through and read it, and it's talking about cities or municipalities that are in different steps of fiscal distress. And one of the things is they do require, they basically what they do is extend them the courtesy of allowing them to until April 1st to pass a balanced budget instead of we're legally obligated to have one January 1st usually.
Why don't they have a balanced budget?
I don't think the state believes that, because how can you say you have a balanced budget when you don't actually know how much money you have? Because
what?
We were told that last night. Did you mention that? Oh, our checking account hasn't been reconciled all through 2025 either. So we actually haven't reconciled for 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 6 years now we haven't reconciled our checking account.
Well, on to police. I think that's important to people.
$1 million the police cut, and no one's getting laid off.
Well, here's the thing. Removal of unfulfilled police officer positions, $394,000.
Does it say how many officers?
Nope, doesn't say how many officers.
We heard something like possibly five last night, didn't we?
Well, then there was a voluntary layoff. Now, now I thought the mayor said that there would...
Nobody's getting laid off.
Yeah, nobody's getting laid off. But isn't a voluntary layoff a layoff?
Yes.
Okay. Now, that was $96,000. That's just one officer. So, maybe that 394 is four officers? Probably four.
Okay.
Four.
Okay.
So, that's five officers, we think. There was also another voluntary layoff of the crime analyst, $12,000. Restructuring the security desk. Now, restructuring the security desk saved them $81,000. Reduction.
I know they said that the other screener is retiring early.
Making $81,000 being a screener?
That's pretty insane.
Reductions
in part-time though, with your benefits and stuff. I mean, it's.
There you go.
I don't know. I don't see it. I don't know.
Reductions in spending. Overtime reduction, $75,000. Elimination of purchase.
Now, time out. I wonder, back to the safety desk. They have a screener there, and they have an officer that sits there all day long. So I wonder if they're going to cut out that paid officer that sits there 24/7.
I don't know what the restructure is, but reductions in spending, $75,000 in overtime is gone. Elimination of purchase of new cruiser capital equipment, $77,000. And cuts to professional services and service contracts, $114,000. So that's how they got to there.
Service contracts and professional services, $114,000. I'm wondering if that's training and stuff. I spoke briefly with Rob Cowell last night, and he told me that one thing the fire department is giving up.
Okay, fire department.
The state has required all firefighters some of them have been grandfathered in because they've been around a long time. They're getting ready to retire. But everyone under a certain seniority date, and I can't remember what he said it was, the state has required them to become trained as paramedics as well.
Well, here's the interesting thing. I've been wondering why the fire department keeps showing up. Because there were, about 20 firefighters there again last
year. Yeah. Well, what are they getting cut?
So I think this is why they're showing up. Because of what the cuts are. Because they're much stranger than the police department cuts. The fire cuts. Reducing expenditures in the 219 fund under capital equipment and acquisition, these two items were over budgeted. So they were over budgeted to begin with. Whatever the 219 fund is, capital. Okay. They reduced.
You know what? I want to know. I don't want to panic everybody, but 217 or 219 is the fire levy fund. One of them.
Well, find out what 219 is.
See, I will.
Pull your budget out.
I don't have my list. I need to get the list.
But they're reducing expenditures there because they were over budgeted. Now, this is another thing. They reduced overtime projections by not funding the assistant for their inspector, reducing the minimum number of officers on each shift to one, canceling all non-emergent overtime expenditures, not sending any members to paramedic school, and rescinding the automatic four-man recall for structure fires. Now, that's probably why they're ticked.
And the police aren't getting a new cruiser. No. And they're redoing the security desk.
Now, also, there's more here. Reduce the budgeted amount for contribution to the fire pension due to the...
I don't know how they can do that. I don't know where that money comes from, because we're legally obligated to do it.
Due to the revenue dedicated to this purpose that Chelsea identified elsewhere in the budget.
I wonder if that's levy money.
I don't know. Well, they reduced it. And
so they reduced the contribution because from the actual fire department, we need to look into that one because we have to pay, we have to make those contributions. We're legally required. So where's the money coming from?
And also,
it's not coming from their budget.
They reduced the quartermaster line item by delaying the purchase of turnout gear. And they reduced other line items by smaller amounts, which added up. But that's, I'm guessing, why the fire department's ticked.
It sounds like they're taking it the worst.
Well, that's a lot of stuff. That's a lot of stuff. I mean, think about the second part of that. Reduced overtime projections by not funding the assistant for our inspector. That's not
our fire inspector.
Yeah, no assistant. Mm-hmm. Reducing the minimum number of officers on each shift to one. One. Now, how's that work? Canceling all non-emergency, I think they put emergent here, overtime expenditures. Well, there goes your overtime. Not sending any members to paramedic school. I bet that's a big problem. And rescinding the automatic four...
The way that's going to work, I talked to Cal. They send two at a time, and what the big problem is they're gone for, I don't remember how long he said, they have to backfill their spots and use purely overtime to do that. So they're going to be, that's not put off forever, and they're legally allowed to do this. They're not happy about it, but that's one thing that they're willing to cut. I want to hear what everybody, I think fire department should start going around and maybe making their presence known in other departments. Like, hey, where's your guys' cuts?
But rescinding the automatic four-man recall for structure fires.
You know, it's like I was telling my husband last night, in a fire situation, the only other person that can save you is somebody else wearing the same outfit as you. You know, you can't have a civilian that runs in there and grabs a firefighter like you might be able to have a civilian jumps in a lake and save somebody. You know what I mean? Of all the things that we need to cut, we need to maybe take a look around at squeezing the police a little tighter than their front desk budget, not getting a new cruiser.
Well, let me get streets and sanitation in before we have to go to break here, because I think probably something else that people are interested in. Okay, this is all one paragraph. I think these department heads must have written this. But here's what it is for streets and sanitation. For our budget cuts at Central Garage, sanitation and streets, we cut mostly overtime, supplies like asphalt and materials, capital equipment, and we did not fill three positions so far. We brought all line items painfully close or below current totals. We will not have any wiggle room for much in the coming year. So no new paving this year. Maintenance and upkeep will be the plan. We have had a plan from the beginning after Scott retired to save as much as possible, even before the budget meetings. We are going to keep everything as low as possible. We cut out the roof repair as well as for the sign shop. We did some repairs on the roof before bad weather set in, and it hasn't been leaking. We will still have to figure out how to address it in the upcoming year because it will not make it that long. I'm sure the Central Garage is going to have to really keep parts costs low, as well as hopefully we do not have a lot of storms or equipment breakdowns in 2026. All in all, we are confident that we can make it all work. I went through the 2007-2008 recession, so we know how to make it through. But cut overtime, and there's three positions that will not be filled in sanitation.
Well, you know what some of their overtime is sitting and blocking uptown for downtown Marion, so I don't feel too bad about that.
No, but what I'm confused about is, you know, why were all these positions sitting vacant. Three positions in the sanitation department.
We can't get anybody to work for us. We pay for crap and we're horrible employers.
Well, but no, the police department had a lot of vacant positions.
Yes, but people should pay attention to the turnover rate in our police department. Marion is one of two things. Either you come here and you get some experience and you move on, or you come here and you stay here and you become part of the good old boys network. The people that are my age are just doing their time to get out. Then you've got the people that won't leave and want to continue to collect a paycheck, FITSCO, and they are completely ruining the younger generation to where nobody wants to work there. The turnover is astronomical in the police department, and
you know
it's not
what?
Because they're not being cops anymore, it's because they're going elsewhere to be cops.
And here's something else in the 2 minutes. Did you know there was a Love Your City line item?
No.
Oh, yes.
How much was in it?
Well, it doesn't say how much was in it, but I can tell you.
Oh, you know what that is? In fairness, that is their neighborhood cleanup. That's what
okay, here
that.
We go. Summary of the budget cuts from that. They reduced professional services by $2,250 and the demolition of buildings by $4,400.
Professional services were, unless it was paying to own the name of Love Your City.
I don't
that's
know.
Usually, it's like legal fees or whatever, something. That's what professional services usually are.
You know what's interesting, though? Now, here's what's one of the things fascinating, and we'll go to break here in about 2 minutes. But the... this travel and transportation, the service director cut $2,000 from travel and transportation. The budget director cut $4,200 from travel and transportation, supplies and training. $3,200 from salaries benefits that were added as a buffer from the OPERS pickup, as it does not seem to be taken out and should be caught up. You know, there's a lot of travel and transportation that's paid for by the city.
Well, you had to go pick up for the Strongest Towns Award up there.
Well, the mayor cut out $1,825 for travel and transportation, supplies and training.
I don't think we should be cutting out his training light items.
I don't know. So that's where some of the money, and Mary out here saying this morning, being retired, I so look forward to higher taxes and sanitation bills. Not, there you go.
I pay 10 sanitation bills a month, so I'm sure you can hear the enthusiasm in my voice.
Well, we'll come back and talk more about this after the break.
Take care.
We'll be back. We're going to start a new tradition here,
okay,
because one of the famous letters of all time that was ever written at any holiday was, Yes, Virginia, the